This episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk is sponsored by The Reflection Connection. For all your natural health care products, go to The Reflection Connection. That's connection with a K. All right, NBA fans, enjoy the show.
What can I say, man? We are in the building. Salute to the NBA community and welcome back, y'all, to the Best of 7 Sports Talk. 7 Mitchell, I'm in the building, man. Shout out to the NBA community. First part of game 3 of the NBA playoffs is in the bag. So we definitely got a couple things to talk about from last night's performance in action. Now, I'm just on social media. It looked like the Toronto Raptors and Nick Nurse is parting ways. Nick Nurse is actually out as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. And it looks like Ime Udoka is one of the leading candidates to take that position. I saw Ime's name in conversations about the Houston job. I think Houston is also going to be interviewing Ime Udoka. They're also going to be interviewing Frank Vogel. So Houston is trying to fill that void. Nick Nurse being released, or, you know, parting ways from Toronto, however you want to put it. You know, he won a championship with Kawhi back in 2019. And a lot of people held him in high regard, you know, as being a good coach. I think he is definitely a good coach. I'm trying to think of the landscape right now of where he could land at that needs him and that could actually have some type of impact, because he is one of those types of coaches that you don't want to just see go to a really bad team with no chance of really showing how good of a coach he is. So I'm just wondering how safe Jason Kidd's job is in Dallas, seeing the tobacco that Dallas had experienced, you know, with Luka and Kyrie. You don't want to blame it all on Jason Kidd. Personally, I think that you definitely got to give Jason Kidd another crack at it. But, you know, he's caught the short end of the stick before. And, you know, Mark Cuban picking up Kyrie Irving this year was a risky move. And, you know, Mark Cuban is known to do risky things and stuff like that. So, to be honest, if there was a story to come out that they were to part ways with Jason Kidd and bring on Nick Nurse as the new head coach for Dallas, thinking that could make something happen over there, I really wouldn't be really surprised or shocked at all. I don't know what you guys think about that. But, you know, other teams that Nick Nurse could wind up being the coach of, I mean, I got to really look at the landscape of the NBA again to see who's available. But Nick Nurse is definitely a good coach. And if he has the right pieces around him, I'm pretty sure he can be successful. Like I said, that 2019 run, it was magic. It was special. You know, but it really wasn't all about Kawhi. Kawhi was definitely the primary factor in that situation. But it wasn't really all the way about Kawhi Leonard. I think that, you know, he really showed how good of a coach he was. We got people like Fred VanVleet. It was a lot of guys that stepped up, made their presence felt, you know, in 2019 after that monumental championship run by Toronto. But it's over now, it looks like, for Nick Nurse and Toronto. We'll see exactly where he lands. Like I said, Nick Nurse is going to be one of the leading candidates for any coaching job that's coming up. I'm just wondering what destination does he maybe desire that he think that he could go, you know, maybe not so much change the culture, but, you know, keep some winning things going and possibly get closer to, you know, another championship appearance for Coach Nick Nurse. So best of luck to Nick Nurse, and we're going to see what Toronto do, if they're going to pick up Ime Udoka. I try to tell everybody, bro, I remember people was trying to say Ime Udoka was never going to be a coach in the NBA again because of what happened. Like, I told y'all that was ridiculous. Where there was smoke, there's fire, but, you know, it was going to die down eventually. There was going to be so many other storylines that was going to be in the NBA. It might have took a year, it might have took 2 years. But I knew we was going to always come back around to right now with Ime Udoka possibly being a coach again in the NBA. You know, I know I had conversations here on the podcast about if Darwin Ham and the Lakers came up short in the play-in tournament and didn't make the playoffs, would Rob Pelinka, would Jeannie Buss let Darwin Ham go even in his first year and possibly bring on Ime moving into the offseason, if that would be a possibility? But the Lakers are in, so I definitely don't see them pulling the trigger on some type of move like that. But Ime, I definitely expected him to be a coach again sooner than later. And it looked like he's going to definitely have a couple of options with Toronto, with Houston. We'll just see what, I guess, what he's really looking at and what his expectations is. It's going to be kind of interesting to see. But this is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man. I'm Seven Mitchell, man. Again, big up to the NBA community. Before we actually get into the show, man, just another quick reminder, if you guys enjoy daily NBA content, to follow me everywhere on social media at the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Also, become a member here on our YouTube channel. Join our membership. A lot of perks, prizes, and giveaways for all of our exclusive members. So join the membership here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Just give me 1 second because we're about to get things started. All right, now, so let's get right into it. I guess the first topic that I really want to get into this afternoon will probably be the situation that happened last night in game three of the Philadelphia 76ers versus the Brooklyn Nets. Now, Joel Embiid, he caught a flagrant foul, or he caught a technical, I think he caught a flagrant foul. James Harden was ejected in this game for kind of like an elbow that he threw in the groin area of the defender. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this is actually the first time that James Harden has ever been ejected. This is a playoff game. This was in the third quarter, I believed. And you know, Philadelphia still got the win. But this was really the big talk, was James Harden being ejected and how he kind of called out the referees post-game. So what do I think about that? Was James Harden ejection fair or foul? Now, I didn't watch the game in its entirety live. So waking up this morning, I'm listening to a lot of the commentary. And after listening to different platforms, I actually got to see the footage of the actual incident with James Harden. And to me, it definitely was intentional. Now, I don't know if he hit his mark. It looked to me like he hit his mark a little bit. You know, I think, you know, what's his name? Royce O'Neal. I think he kind of put on a little act, but it looked like he kind of hit his mark. But nevertheless, to me, it looked like it was intentional. I don't think it was something. He could have been trying to use it to get space, but it just, to me, looked like he knew what he was doing. You know, veterans, they got these little tricks and things up their sleeve that they pull up all the time. You know, that's just a part of the game. But it's all about not getting caught doing it. And when you had the situation with Joel Embiid and Nick Claxton earlier, you know, with Joel Embiid kicking Nick Claxton, he didn't get thrown out. So it seemed to me this was kind of a get back or a break-even moment for the referees, regardless of the actual, you know, situation of us being in the second half and the third quarter of an NBA playoff game. And they wind up ejecting James Harden, and, you know, he was definitely upset about it. But this is, to me, what I was saying about Philly and Joel Embiid possibly winning this MVP. I think this team got a really good chance of going far in the Eastern Conference if they can keep chips on their shoulders. That's just the biggest thing has always been to me, what type of a mindset are these guys going to have going into April and May? Because they have had some accolades, each one of them, Doc Rivers, the James Harden, to Joel Embiid. They've had their name put in, with a lot of respect on it at points. But there's also that black cloud of playoff performances that these guys really got a lot to prove in my eyes, from Doc Rivers to James Harden to Joel Embiid. And I was saying, I think if Joel was to win the MVP, I'm afraid that he would take his foot off the gas because he would be so excited to finally get this award. It could be a problem for Philly in the first two rounds, you know, getting the job done if he's not focused. James Harden being ejected last night, to me, definitely sealed the deal that these guys got a chip on their shoulder, and it's going to be rough for a lot of opposing teams. Philadelphia, they seem to be fed up with a lot of the BS, bro. It really do. And I like that attitude. I like that bravado. I think that it's good for the game. I think it's going to be good for the success, the potential of Philadelphia making it deep into the Eastern Conference. I don't want to see Joel get shortchanged. He do deserve an MVP, definitely, you know, consideration. He's one of the finalists. But I'm just not sold on that maturity level of him yet. I'm afraid he'll get it and he'll just take his foot off the gas. He'll just like exhale, he'll breathe, because a lot of people felt like he got robbed last year of the award. So I don't know, man, but I think that James Harden ejection was fair. You know, it looked like it was intentional to me. And what he's doing right now, complaining about it, is cap. But I actually like it, because any chip on his shoulder in April and May, I think, can only be good for Harden, for the simple fact that he has not performed well in the playoffs with previous teams in previous years. So we'll see how it play out. But I actually like the direction of the attitude of James Harden and the Philadelphia 76ers. And most importantly, they got the win. They're now up 3-0 on Brooklyn. So they're looking to close this thing out in a sweep and move on to the next round. But I like the attitude of Philly. I've been telling people since the offseason, watch out for the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, this is the Best of Seven Sports Talk, Seven Mitchell in the building. Next topic I want to discuss: Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors. Wow. Draymond Green and the Golden State Warriors. Are the Warriors better with or without Draymond at this point? What do I think about this? There's no denying that Draymond Green played a very pivotal role in what we have classified as a dynasty from the Golden State Warriors. There's no doubt about that. His presence, his contribution, productivity, his attitude, good or bad or indifferent, for the most part, has played a pivotal role in the identity of that dynasty and that franchise. But I really feel like it's definitely run its course. And it's kind of ran its course for a couple of years now. And this whole thought that Draymond Green is the heart and the leader of the locker room and the heartbeat of the Golden State Warriors, to me, is a bunch of BS. And I wish that the media stopped pushing that narrative and storyline, because it's not good. And to me, it's not real. I don't believe that Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, guys I believe that won four championships, I don't think that they go off of the beat from Draymond's drum at this point. Those guys have been in the fire, each and every one of them. They know what it takes. They go home in game three after being down 2-0 to Sacramento. They get a good win last night, I believe, against the Kings without Draymond Green. So they know they can win without this guy. They got four championships. Those guys specifically does not need this quote-unquote leadership or this quote-unquote heartbeat that Draymond Green is quote-unquote bringing to this franchise. I think those days are over. Those guys are solidified. Now, let's talk about the younger guys, the Kamingas, the Jordan Pools, what's his name, DiVincenzo, like those the role players. What Draymond Green is bringing to the table since the beginning of this year, you can't convince me has been good for those guys' development. He started the year off punching Jordan Poole. He started this podcast. The podcast got hot. But in a lot of people's opinion, the team suffered for it, having their worst road performance in years as far as a record go. You know, people think that that's partially due to lack of focus. Draymond pretty much promises a podcast after every game, win or lose. As fans of content creators, we love it. We love to hear the insight, you know, the immediate response, unfiltered, uninterrupted. But it's cost this team a lot. And now they got an uphill battle to climb. He steps on Sabonis' chest in game two. You know, he had his foot grabbed. But again, Joe Dumars made it perfectly clear when he broke down and explained the reason of Draymond being suspended for game three. And I watched a lot of different platforms try to argue about why would Draymond Green be suspended for game three when he was tossed out in game two, which played a role in Golden State losing. And I'm like, bro, that is a bunch of cap because number one, when has Draymond been so instrumental in a win or a loss for Golden State? Let's be real. Let's be real. I don't think the deciding factor of that game was Draymond being on the court. His productivity doesn't reflect that being a real statement. Let's just be honest. But more importantly than that, it's like they shown that they don't need him to win. He's not setting a good example for the younger guys. He started this podcast. It seemed like he put himself above the team. They're losing. They're getting older. I just don't see them keeping Draymond anymore. I don't see the asset in that. He has, to me, become a total liability at this point. Can you still, like Draymond, to me, people say he's a Hall of Famer. Stuff like that. I don't really want to dispute that. You know, he's won four championships. He's played a role. So I guess, you know, you'll put him in there as being one of the all-time greatest. But I always felt like his attitude, things that doesn't involve the actual game has always overshadowed his game. And he's cool with that. And I think it's funny at sometimes at a point. It may have been funny a few years ago, but the expectation level, the standards, is different now in Golden State. This guy's one of the reasons why Kevin Durant is no longer in Golden State. I know they won the championship last year, but who knows how successful and dominant Golden State would be as a franchise if KD would have never left. If that situation would have never happened with Draymond and KD, I mean, what are we talking about? Golden State could maybe have what? 6, 7, 8 championships right now in a row. You know? So, you know, Draymond Green, to me, even though he's played such a big role in the dynasty, at the end of the day, he's doing more harm than good. And the team is paying for it. If Golden State was still winning or, you know, had their head above water, you want to talk that Draymond is Draymond stuff? I'm cool with that. But the bottom line to me, man, their road performances was awful. They start this playoffs down 2-0. Now, I'm not counting them out. I honestly believe they'll come back and beat San Antonio. I was never sold that the Kings could beat Golden State in a 7-game series, with or without Draymond. Those guys have just been battle-tested too much. But they're making it harder on themselves. They lost both games on the road. And they played terrible on the road, so it was kind of expected. But now they have to win games at home. They won last night. They have to win next game. They can't afford to be down 3-1. I wouldn't write them off, but just knowing how they play on the road, knowing that Sacramento has home court advantage in this round, Golden State has to win game 4. Must win, in my opinion. If they lose, it could still go 7, but you know, you're looking at Golden State having to win the series on the road. And history have shown this year that they have no success playing on the road in the regular seasons or right now in the playoffs, even though it's a lot of basketball left. So I think Golden State is definitely better off without Draymond at this point. He's more of a liability than an asset. He still brings things to the table. He still will have his moments. But those moments are not really outshining everything else, if you want to be honest. So that's where I stand at when it comes to that. Next up on the Best of Seven Sports Talk, man, this is Seven Mitchell. Let's talk about the Lakers for a quick second. The Lakers' new playoff chances. Now, L.A. was up 1-0. They got the big win in game 1 versus Memphis. Then we go into game 2. You have no Ja Morant. And the Lakers just came out so flat. So flat. They, you know, and Anthony Davis had an iffy game. You know, LeBron wasn't on no heroic superstar type of performance. And I think they let one go in game 2. You got Dylan Brooks talking all disrespectful and stuff of that nature. You know, it was big that they stole game 1. But even if the Lakers was to lose game 2, which they shouldn't have because Memphis didn't even have Ja. But even if you were to lose game 2, at least make it look good. You know, like, be ready to play. This is a road game, but be ready to play. If Memphis is going to beat you with their supporting cast, make them know who they're dealing with. Like, don't beat yourself. And I feel like the Lakers definitely beat themselves in game 2. Now they got to go back home in L.A. for game 3 and game 4. You'll have Ja Morant back for at least one or two of those games. You know, I'm not so sold that this is going to be an easy ride for the Lakers, even though the next couple of games are going to be back in L.A., man. I really think that having Ja Morant out for game 2 after you was able to get game 1, that game 2 win without Ja was more important, in my opinion, than a game 1 win. Because you got so much roller coaster energy with the Lakers as far as availability. Anthony Davis being in and out. D'Angelo Russell struggling. Dennis Schroeder, you know, missing open shots. Like, there's not a lot of consistency still with the Lakers overall. So you got to really capitalize on all your opportunities and moments. And the fact that they were able to get game 1, but then come back in game 2, not only lose to a Ja Morantless Memphis Grizzlies, just not play well. That's a bad look going into game 3. You're going to have Memphis knowing that they could beat the Lakers without Ja. They're going to have Ja back eventually. So, you know, that it's going to put a lot of pressure on LA in game 3 this weekend to start off coming out early, trying to get a big lead, and hopefully hold on to it. I don't think it's going to be good for the Lakers to kind of have this being a close game going into the fourth quarter, especially if Memphis has Ja Morant back. Because those guys, they got the momentum, believe it or not. Even though the Lakers stole game 1, you know, they just didn't look good in game 2. And that's the worst thing to have happened to the Lakers, playing Memphis without Ja, that you come out flat. No, that was not good. So we're going to see how it play out. But the Lakers, they have to play better. Whether Ja is or is not on the floor, that's just half of the problem. The Lakers made a lot of self-inflicted mistakes in game 2. So hopefully they can clean that up. But those are my thoughts this afternoon, people, on the NBA, man. Y'all already know how we rocking here at the Best of Seven Sports Talk. Just another reminder. If you guys enjoy daily NBA content, subscribe, follow us everywhere on social media. Talking about NBA topics, the trending ones, 24/7, 365. Y'all already know the drill. Also, you can scan this QR code if you want to check out our NBA podcast and follow us everywhere on social media. Go ahead and scan this QR code on the screen. Definitely appreciate the support. Happy 45th birthday to me. Today is my birthday, so you know I'm about to turn it up to a whole nother level, but I wanted to stop by, just talk briefly a little bit about the whole James Harden ejection. Like I said, I believe this was the first time James Harden has been ejected in his career, and he had a lot to say about the referees, but I did watch the footage this morning, and James Harden was definitely out of bounds. Like, we're not going to play that game. It was definitely a low blow. And I think the referees, because they didn't throw Joel Embiid out for the situation that happened in the first quarter with him and Nick Claxton, it was kind of get back. They had to break even for Brooklyn. But Philly still got the win. 76ers are now up 3-0 on Brooklyn, looking to close that series out with a sweep. But I will be back with you guys again before the weekend is out so we can talk more about the rest of Game 3 in the NBA playoffs, man. But I am 7 Mitchell. Y'all already know what this is, man. You are now rocking with the best. This is the Best of 7 Sports Talk. About to get up out of here. Y'all stay safe. Have a happy weekend. Stay safe and all that good stuff. And I'm going to holler, y'all. Peace. All right, man. I want to thank you guys for listening into another episode of the Best of 7 Sports Talk. I'm 7 Mitchell, man. Make sure you follow the show to be sure to be notified about the next episode. Also, I'll put the Linktree link in the description so you can follow us on social media as well as donate and contribute to our platform. See you guys again on the next episode. Peace.